The tales on this podcast are dark, sometimes scary, and full of adult themes. As a warning, the original story of Buttercup features violence, murder, cannibalism, and child abduction. Please exercise caution for children under 13. Buttercup picked up the axe and peered over his shoulder. The 12-year-old's hands trembled imperceptibly. He knew if he handled the steel blade wrong, there would be blood, even suffering. He shook off the fear, though. He couldn't let his doubts muddy his thinking. It would be dark soon, and his target would be harder to see. Buttercup marched across the yard to where his first victim was waiting, already on the chopping block. He knew it was just an innocent bystander, but that was the way of life in the forest. Chop or be chopped. Buttercup squared his shoulders just like his mother had taught him. He didn't want to look, but if he didn't watch closely, he might miss and hurt himself instead. Finally, he took aim and swung the heavy blade with all his might. He felt the metal cut through the tissue and then hit the chopping block with a satisfying thunk. The birch log split in two and tumbled to the ground. Buttercup inspected his legs and fingers. He didn't see any blood, cuts, or gashes. He still had all his toes. He dropped the axe and celebrated with a dance. He had done it. He had successfully chopped his first log without his mother's supervision. Little did Buttercup know he'd need to use an axe for another purpose entirely. Not for chopping wood, but for killing. I'm Vanessa Richardson. You're listening to Tales, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Wednesday, we dive into the dark origins of another fairy tale. You can find all episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. Today, we're on the chopping block with Buttercup. This Norwegian folktale follows a young boy in a battle with a hungry witch. Coming up, Buttercup is home alone.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Buttercup comes to us from a familiar source, Norway. Much like another Norwegian story we've covered, The Giant Who Had No Heart in His Body, Buttercup was first transcribed by Petter Christen Asbjørnsen and Jørgen Moe in the 1800s. This time, however, Asbjørnsen and Moe didn't give us a story about a young man rescuing a princess. Instead, it's the young boy who needs saving. And don't be misled by the sweet-sounding title. Buttercup doesn't involve charming milkmaids or flowers in a meadow. Our hero's situation is dire. He's caught in a terrifying cat-and-mouse game, trying to escape the clutches of an evil witch. And while his situation vaguely resembles other Home Alone tales, this one has a dark and bloody ending. Buttercup's mother, Clara, woke him early. "Time to get up, sleepyhead. You have to pack." Buttercup, his chubby cheeks still pink with sleep, rubbed his eyes.
"Pack for what?"
Clara sighed, frustration tinging her gentle voice.
"I told you yesterday. We're taking the vegetables to the market. Now get up and get ready."
Buttercup yanked the covers defiantly over his golden curls.
"Why can't I stay home? I'm 12 now. I'm old enough."
Clara tickled the boy's feet through the sheets. "It's dangerous. You're not staying home by yourself, and that's that." Buttercup sprang out of bed.
"But, Mother, I can do everything around the house."
The boy grabbed her hand and pulled her into the kitchen. He showed her how he could stoke the fire and put the kettle on to boil. He described all the chores he could do: feed the dog, water the flower beds.
"I can even chop wood," he added.
Clara wagged her finger at the boy. Absolutely not. I don't ever want you using that axe while I'm not here. You could cut yourself. Buttercup held his hands out to her, pleading.
Please, Mother, I'll be safe.
Clara looked at Buttercup up and down. Well, you are getting older. Let's see how you do it. She followed the boy out to the yard and watched him pick out a big, thick log. Ambitious. As he picked up the axe and swung it over his shoulder, she coached him on his technique and gave him pointers for being safe and efficient. And then she watched as he split the wood perfectly. Clara raised a brow, impressed with her son. Then she gave a thoughtful nod, knelt down, and looked him straight in the eyes. Well, Buttercup, I guess my little boy can stay home by himself then. Buttercup's whole body hummed with excitement as his mother gave him a tight hug, packed up their horse-drawn cart with turnips, potatoes, and carrots, and then clambered up beside them. Was this really happening? He wondered. Before Clara departed, she turned to him. I'll be gone for 2 days. Don't forget, lock the door behind you and don't let anyone in, especially not that witch who lives down the road. Buttercup assured her he'd be on the lookout for anyone, witches or not. At that, Clara spurred the horses and trundled down the road. When she was finally out of sight, Buttercup could scarcely believe it. He had convinced her to let him stay. He was on his own for the first time in his life. He jumped up and down and danced in circles.
I'm free!
He yelled into the air.
I'm free!
When he finally stopped dancing, he strutted around the property, surveying his new domain like a king. He nodded approvingly at the woodpile, the stalks of corn, and the patches of rhubarb. On the far side of the house, he found their dog, Augie, gnawing on a bone.
I'm the man of the house now,
Buttercup told the elk hound, who wagged his tail excitedly, then went back to his snack. With his tour of the yard complete, Buttercup ran inside the house. He jumped up and down on his bed, something that he could never do if his mother was home. After the excitement wore off, Buttercup turned to the chores. He fed Augie, weeded the vegetables, pumped water from the well, and cooked dinner. He even chopped several logs, following his mother's exact instructions. After all the responsibilities had been taken care of, Buttercup was exhausted. He hadn't realized that being an adult was so tiring. He trudged over to his mother's rocking chair and sat down. As he settled back onto the wooden seat, he heard a noise in the yard. It was Augie barking. That's strange, Buttercup thought. The dog only barked when he was hungry or if there was an intruder, and Augie had been fed. But before Buttercup could even say the word, he heard footsteps on the front stairs. Oh no, he thought. He was so caught up in the day's activities, he had forgotten his mother's last rule, to lock the door. It was too late now. Whoever was there was already fiddling with the doorknob. Buttercup's instincts kicked in. He had to hide. He dashed into the kitchen and hid behind the sacks of flour. Maybe whoever was there would peek inside the house and think no one was home. From his hiding place, Buttercup heard the door creak open.
Hello?
A voice whispered. Buttercup peeked out and saw a strange woman enter the home. In the natural light of the doorway, she looked as young as his mother, with nary a wrinkle on her face. But when she stepped into the shadows of the home, her face transformed into a hideous visage of rotting flesh. Buttercup realized it could only be one person, Taya, the witch. No one knew how old the woman was. Buttercup's mother had told him she was around when she was young. Many believed she was hundreds of years old. The witch's age didn't seem to slow her down, though. She traveled the countryside with a burlap sack on her shoulder, looking for children to kidnap. And now she had come for Buttercup. Taya seemed to slither into the home.
Come on out, Buttercup,
she hissed.
I know you're here. I can smell you.
Buttercup wondered if that was possible. Witches were known to have magical powers, but he wasn't going to give up that easily. Instead, he hunkered down further in his hiding spot. The witch was persistent, though. She poked around the cottage, searching in cabinets and under tables. When she couldn't locate her prey, she stopped and held out her hands innocently.
Don't be afraid, Buttercup. Your mother sent me to check on you.
At the mention of Clara, Buttercup nearly burst from his hiding place. Perhaps his mother had sent this woman. It sounded like something she would do, have an adult look in on him. But Buttercup stopped himself. It could also be a trick. Then the witch held up a finger.
I almost forgot, she said. Your mother gave me a gift for you.
Buttercup peeked out around the flour sacks and watched the woman pull something shiny from her burlap sack. It was a new pocket knife with a polished blade. Buttercup had dreamed of having a knife like that, but his mother always said he wasn't old enough. Taya waved it in the air.
Every young man needs a good pocket knife.
Once again, Buttercup wondered if the old lady had been sent by his mother. Maybe Clara knew how responsible he'd been around the house. Perhaps the knife was his reward. But Buttercup was still wary. It could be a trap, he thought. After a moment, the old woman shrugged.
Fine, I guess I'll have to keep it for myself. Your mother will be so disappointed.
Taya snapped the knife shut, dropped it in the burlap sack, and headed for the door. Buttercup began to panic. The last thing he wanted was to disappoint his mother. Maybe this woman was right. Just as Taya was about to leave, Buttercup sprang from his hiding place.
Wait, I'm here!
As soon as the words left his mouth, his whole world went dark. It felt like he'd been swallowed by a giant whale and was now in its lightless belly. But after a moment, he realized he was in Taya's burlap sack. He heard her cackle and heave the bag onto her back.
Got you, she said. And soon, I'm going to eat you.
Coming up, Buttercup attempts a daring escape.
Robbing trains, rustling cattle. Pop culture usually depicts the Old West as an uncharted land with no rules. But how much of that is true? Now you can find the facts, learn the lore, and tackle the tallest of tales in the Spotify original from Parcast, Wild Wild West. Every Thursday on Spotify, saddle up to the saloon to hear about the American frontier's most ruthless outlaws and heroic gunslingers. Wild Wild West features a compilation of episodes from shows across Parcast Network and focuses on the legends that help shape American culture. From sharpshooters and explorers to family feuds and lost treasure, the West has a history more complex than you know. Don't be a yellow belly. Follow Wild Wild West free and only on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. Forget dark alleys and cemeteries. For some, the gym is the scariest place of all, but it doesn't have to be. With a personalized plan and expert coaching, Anytime Fitness can help make the gym less frightening. Get more for your gym membership than machines. Get personalized support anytime, anywhere. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Now back to the story. Buttercup couldn't believe he'd fallen for Taya's trap. Not only had he forgotten his mother's rule of always locking the door, he had also foolishly emerged from his hiding place. Now he was being jostled inside a sack on the old witch's back.
Let me out of here!
He yelled. Taya adjusted her grip on the bag.
Shush! It's a long road, so you best settle in.
Buttercup searched for a way out, but the top of the sack was knotted shut, and the heavy fabric was too tough for him to rip open. All he could do was listen to the old woman's feet trudge along the dirt road and lament the fact that he forgot his mother's admonition. After a while, though, Buttercup noticed that the witch's steps were slowing. Her breathing grew labored.
"You are one husky boy," the witch said between gasps.
Soon, Buttercup felt Taya let go of the sack. His stomach went light as he fell through the air until he landed with a thud. Buttercup rubbed his head.
"Ow, that hurt."
Taya poked and prodded the bag.
"You think it's easy carrying you? I need a break. We'll be back on the road shortly. Now behave."
Almost immediately, Buttercup heard Taya snoring next to him. She must have been truly exhausted from carrying him. Buttercup decided to use Taya's slumber to his advantage. Once again, he tried to open the top of the sack, but it was no use. The knot was too tight. Next, he tried to tear the burlap fabric, but it was still too strong. After several tries, he gave up and slumped to the ground. He imagined his mother arriving home in a few days to find the house empty. The garden would have weeds, Augie would be hungry, worst of all, he would be missing. And it was all his fault.
"How could I have been so careless?"
Buttercup thought. Besides forgetting to lock the door, he also left his hiding place for a silly knife. The thought seemed to echo in his head. The silly knife. Buttercup remembered that Taya had tossed it in the sack before she captured him. Immediately, he fumbled around in the darkness. There seemed to be endless folds of the scratchy fabric. It seemed impossible to find anything. But then, his hand touched something solid. It had a smooth handle and sharp blade. The knife! Buttercup listened to make sure Taya was still sleeping. When he heard her snores, he sliced through the thick bag. Soon, there was a hole big enough for him to fit through. Buttercup peeked out and saw Taya's rotting face bathed in the moonlight. It was the most horrifying thing he had ever seen, but he couldn't let it scare him into staying or running off noisily. He took a deep breath, crawled out of the bag, and tiptoed gently past the witch. Finally, once he'd lost sight of the witch, he took off in a sprint toward home. When Buttercup arrived back at the cabin, he dashed inside and locked the door. He wasn't going to make that mistake again. He was so exhausted from his ordeal, he wandered into his bedroom, collapsed on his bed, and fell into a deep sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, Buttercup woke to the sound of Augie barking again.
"That's strange," Buttercup thought. The dog never barked twice in one night, and there was no way Taya the witch would have followed him back here.
All of a sudden, though, the floorboards creaked in the kitchen, and he heard a familiar voice.
"Buttercup, where are you?"
it asked. It was Taya. The witch searched through the house again.
"Buttercup, I just ran into your mother at the market. She told me to check on you."
Buttercup couldn't believe it. How did she get in the house? He wondered. More importantly, how would she have known about the market unless she had seen his mother? After what happened before, though, he knew this must be another trap. He decided to hide under his bed. It wasn't a moment too soon. All of a sudden, the bedroom door swung open, and there stood Taya. Her face looked even older than before. Rotting flesh seemed to hang off in chunks.
"Come on out, Buttercup. Your mother gave me another gift for you."
Buttercup peeked from under the bed and saw Taya standing only a few feet away. She pulled a sterling silver spoon from the burlap sack. Moonlight glinted off its polished edges. It was the nicest spoon Buttercup had ever seen. Buttercup had always wanted a silver spoon. For years, he had used an old wooden one that was cracked and worn. As much as he wanted this silver utensil, however,
He wouldn't let himself be fooled like last time. Still, Taya seemed to know a lot about his mother, that she had gone to the market, that she had left him home alone, and that she always wanted to give him a silver spoon. Maybe she was telling the truth this time. As Buttercup made up his mind, Taya turned to leave the room.
All right, I guess I'll have to tell your mother that you were hiding like a little boy and didn't want her gift.
At that, Buttercup crawled out from under the bed.
Here I am.
Taya turned to him and grinned.
Good boy.
All of a sudden, she swung the burlap sack over him. As Buttercup tumbled into the scratchy fibers, his heart sank. He had been foolish again. This time, Buttercup started crying, not because he was afraid of the witch, but because he knew his mother would be disappointed in him. When he stopped crying, he set to work. If it was the same sack as before, perhaps the knife was still inside it too. He groped around in the darkness. As he searched, Taya cackled.
If you're looking for the knife, you can forget it. Unlike you, I learn from my mistakes.
Buttercup slumped in defeat. A short distance down the road, though, Buttercup heard Taya struggling again. She wheezed and gasped.
You are as heavy as you are gullible.
Not long after, Buttercup felt the sack crash to the ground, with him in it. It sent a shock of pain through his body. Taya poked at the bag.
This time you won't have a knife to free you, so I'm taking a break.
Moments later, Buttercup heard her start to snore. Even though Taya had confiscated the knife, Buttercup didn't give up. Certainly Taya was a clever witch. She had tricked him twice. But he was smart too. He had convinced his mother that he was old enough to stay home alone. So he came up with a plan. If it was the same burlap sack as before, Buttercup reasoned Taya must have mended the hole he had cut. Maybe he could locate the repair and use that to escape. It was likely the weakest part of the sack. Buttercup searched every square inch of burlap. At first, he didn't find anything. Perhaps Taya had done a better job of repairing the cloth than he expected. Just as Buttercup was about to give up, though, he found a raised ridge of fabric that felt like a long scar. That must be it, he thought. He traced his finger along the edge and located a loose thread. When he tugged on it, a small gap opened in the side of the sack. Buttercup was careful not to open the entire thing. Instead, he reached up and untied the knot holding the mouth of the sack closed. He knew if it looked like he escaped again, Taya would immediately hunt him down again. He needed to find a way to delay the witch until Clara arrived home. Buttercup thought for a moment and came up with a plan. He located a log that weighed as much as him. He dragged it quietly over to the sack and loaded it inside. Then Buttercup retied the knot in the top of the bag to appear like he had never escaped. Buttercup raced home, confident that he had outwitted Taya once and for all. He only had to survive until the next morning when his mother would return. When Buttercup arrived at the farmstead, he went to work fixing the lock Taya had broken the previous night. If his mother suspected that Taya had tried to kidnap him, she would never let him stay home again. By the afternoon, the door was mended. Satisfied with his work, Buttercup took a nap in his bed. When he woke later, he checked the cabin. The lock was still in place. There was no sign of a witch or her sack. Buttercup smiled, relieved. His ploy to weigh down her bag must have worked. She was probably back at her house in the woods. Buttercup hoped that was the last he'd ever see of her. But Augie's barking replaced his momentary peace with sudden panic. In all the drama of the previous day, Buttercup had forgotten to feed him. He gathered up some scraps from the kitchen and rushed outside. No sooner had Buttercup opened the door when he felt the rough weave of burlap ensnare him.
Not again!
he exclaimed. He heard Taya's voice on the other side.
You're becoming a real pain, you know that?
This time, Buttercup didn't struggle. He knew the old witch would grow tired of carrying him as she had before. It would only be a matter of time before she had to take a break, and he could escape. This time, however, Taya didn't heave the sack onto her back. She hoisted him up off the ground and dropped him onto a hard, wooden surface. Buttercup was confused. Where was he? But when the wooden surface began to roll and the sound of a creaky wheel resonated under him, he knew it could be only one thing. His mother's wheelbarrow. Buttercup's heart sank. If Taya didn't have to carry him, she wouldn't have to stop. He realized what that meant. This time, he was really caught for good. The witch chuckled at him.
Enjoy the ride, Buttercup. It'll be your last.
Coming up, Buttercup gets his revenge. Now, back to the story. Buttercup thrashed inside the burlap sack, but it was no use. This time, the witch had captured him for good. He had no choice but to endure the bumpy wheelbarrow ride. Along the way, he thought about the choices that had led him to this point and realized that he needed his mother more than ever. If only he had gone to the market with her, he wouldn't be in this predicament. But no, he had to convince her he was old enough to stay home. He wished more than anything for a chance to go back to the previous morning and choose differently. He'd probably be with Clara right now, eating snacks at the market while she sold their crop of vegetables. Unfortunately, there was nothing Buttercup could do now, and he had a hunch things were about to get even worse. After riding on the wheelbarrow for most of the day, he felt it come to a stop. He couldn't see where he was, but his other senses picked up clues about his whereabouts. Somewhere nearby, a fire crackled and liquid bubbled. The scent of fresh herbs and chopped onions meant it was likely soup cooking. Buttercup's observations proved correct when the sack was finally untied and he came tumbling out. In front of him was a giant black cauldron tended to by a girl who couldn't be much older than Buttercup. An evil grin spread across Taya's face.
Buttercup, I'd like you to meet my daughter, Sigrid. While I take care of some other business, she'll take care of you.
As Taya gathered up some witchy jars and herbs, Sigrid grabbed her mother's arm.
What happened?
She asked softly.
I've been waiting for you since yesterday.
Taya patted her head.
The boy was more difficult than I thought, but he'll be worth the trouble. He's a meaty little thing. Now, get to it.
Sigrid tugged on her mother's dress.
Get to what?
She asked. Taya handed her an axe and gestured to their chopping block, which was stained crimson and covered with bits of hair and brain.
Cooking him, of course.
At that, Taya patted Sigrid on the head and disappeared down the road, leaving the girl alone with Buttercup, who promptly realized that Taya and Sigrid weren't cooking just any stew. They were cooking a Buttercup stew. In an instant, he began to panic. Not only had he disappointed his mother, but now he was going to be eaten. As he began to cry, however, he noticed, to his surprise, so did Sigrid. Buttercup was so shocked to see Taya's daughter whimpering, he forgot all about his own troubles.
What's wrong?
He asked her. Sigrid looked over at him through damp eyes.
I don't know what to do. She never tells me anything. Am I just supposed to chop off your head or your arms and legs too?
Buttercup was horrified, but also puzzled.
You mean you've never done this before?
He asked. The girl shook her head.
No, she doesn't teach me anything, as if I'm just going to know how to cut off a head.
Buttercup sensed an opportunity to escape. He smiled and approached her.
Believe it or not, I have the opposite problem.
My mother won't let me do anything on my own, and when she does, she has to show me her way. She showed me how to swing an axe just the other day. Come to think of it, I could show you if you want.
Sigrid wiped the tears from her eyes.
You'd do that for me?
Buttercup nodded at her.
I don't have any choice, do I? If you use improper technique, it might take 3 or 4 whacks to chop off my head. Meanwhile, I'd just suffer.
A look of relief flushed over Sigrid's face.
Thank you,
she said, and handed him the axe. Buttercup gestured for her to follow him over to the chopping block.
First, you have to make sure your stance is right, just like this.
He demonstrated how Sigrid should stand with her feet shoulder-width apart. Then he showed her how to judge the distance between her body and the chopping block. As Buttercup explained how to take aim, a look of disappointment suddenly spread across his face.
What's wrong?
Sigrid asked. Buttercup shook his head.
I wanted to show you how to swing, but I can't hold the axe and be your test subject.
Sigrid looked back at him compliantly.
I guess I could do it. After all, you are teaching me.
Buttercup shrugged and showed her where to position her head on the block. With her cheek pressed firmly against the wooden block, she stared up at Buttercup.
Like this?
She asked. Before the final syllable was out of her mouth, Buttercup swung the axe down. He cut through Sigrid's neck with one clean chop. Her head tumbled to the ground and rolled a short distance away, leaking blood on the dusty earth. Buttercup dropped the axe and took in the gory scene. He hated having to kill Sigrid, but it was his only way to survive. Still, Buttercup knew he wasn't safe just yet. Taya's expecting a stew. I need to give her one, the boy thought. Buttercup picked up the axe again. This time, he lopped off Sigrid's arms and legs. One by one, he dumped the body parts into the cauldron. Buttercup stirred the pieces into the stew. Within seconds, the smell of boiled meat filled the air. Buttercup was about to escape for home when he realized that eventually, Taya would discover what he had done. At that point, she would come for him again. Perhaps he shouldn't run this time. Perhaps he should stay and end it once and for all. Buttercup looked around for a weapon. There was the axe, but he was too short to actually attack Taya with it. Then he noticed something else. Leaning against the wall was the log Buttercup had placed in Taya's sack the previous night. That would have to do. Buttercup found a ladder and positioned it against the wall so he could climb up into the rafters of the cabin. It took all of his strength to drag the log up after him. Just as he maneuvered it into place, he heard footsteps approaching below. It was Taya. As she entered the house, she clapped her hands together.
Sigrid, she exclaimed. That Buttercup stew smells divine.
Buttercup watched from above as Taya rushed over to the cauldron. She picked up the ladle, dipped it into the stew, and took a sip. Taya let out a long, satisfied sigh.
You made it perfectly, she said.
But as she looked around for Sigrid, her expression shifted from pleasure to concern.
Sigrid? She called out.
Instead of Sigrid, however, Buttercup responded.
Sigrid is gone,
he said from the rafters.
Taya looked up at him, surprised. If you're still here, what's in the stew?
Buttercup grinned at her.
Why, it's Sigrid, of course.
Taya let out a scream that echoed across the countryside. Buttercup was afraid it might topple the whole house, but it served as the perfect distraction. Buttercup suddenly let go of the log. It sailed through the air, almost whistling with speed as it dropped, and finally smashed directly onto Taya's head. The witch crumpled under its weight. Her body sprawled on the floor amidst a growing pool of crimson blood. Taya was dead. When Buttercup saw it, he felt like dancing on the rafters, but he knew his mother would be home soon. So instead of celebrating, he leapt to the floor, flew out the door, and took off running down the road. When he arrived home, he saw his mother's horse cart in the drive.
"Mother!"
he called out. After a moment, Clara emerged from the house. She was beaming.
"The wood is cut, the dog is fed, the plants are watered. You did everything. Looks like it was pretty boring around here."
Buttercup ran into her arms and hugged her.
"You wouldn't believe it if I told you."
After a long embrace, Buttercup stepped back and looked his mother in the eyes.
"The next time you go to the market, though, I may not stay home alone. I'd prefer to go with you."
Buttercup may seem like a quintessential story encouraging children to obey their parents, but underneath is a tale of national pride. Around the time Buttercup was published, Norway was in the midst of a tumultuous period. The country had recently fought a war of independence against Sweden. Many Norwegian men were injured or dead, leaving many women home alone with their children. Whether or not Asbjørnsen and Moe intended the witch to represent Sweden or other external threats is debatable, but either way, Buttercup stood as a lesson for children to do one simple thing for their country: to listen to their mothers, lest they fall into the clutches of an evil witch and end up boiled in a stew. Thanks for listening to Tales. We'll be back next Wednesday with a new and exciting story. You can find more episodes of Tales and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. Join me next week for another dark and surprising fairy tale. Tales is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Nick Johnson, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Trent Williamson, Carly Madden, and Aaron Larson. This episode of Tales was written by Jesse Harris, with writing assistance by Adam Da Silva and Nora Battelle, fact-checking by Adriana Romero, and research by Mickey Taylor. I'm Vanessa Richardson.
Hey, partners, it's Carter from Parcast. You've probably heard stories about outlaw Jesse James, sharpshooter Annie Oakley, and the horrors of the Donner Party. But how much of what you've heard is actually true? Find out on my new series, Wild Wild West, where I head out on the frontier to find the facts, learn the lore, and tackle the tallest of tales. Follow the Spotify original from Parcast, Wild Wild West, every Thursday, free, and only on Spotify.